Today on Real Life Radio.
The Holy Spirit is alive. The Bible is God's word. And if you're breathing right now, then God is desiring to speak to you in your life. And that is the dynamic about our faith.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Book of Revelation with the message, The First Rider of the Apocalypse. Here in chapter 6, we're given yet another key to understanding a series of events known as the Great Tribulation. Now, this 7-year period will be a time of great deception that begins with a treaty with the nation of Israel and her surrounding enemies. You see, during this time period, there's a global need for political reform, and there's one man who will be able to provide it. That's the same man in the Bible called the Antichrist. Now, these fascinating and terrible times are revealed to us so that we'll know what's going to happen before the second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that Israel plays a key role in these end time events. All eyes will be on this tiny nation as that treaty is broken and the apocalypse begins. Now in his message called The First Rider of the Apocalypse, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
And Father, in Jesus' name, that we might, as we continue and really embark now upon a tremendous chapter of the book of Revelation and one that sets the stage for, Lord, 14 chapters that lie ahead of this period of time that is yet coming. We ask you, Father, that as we go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and learn of your word, we might be a people, Father, more encouraged and more in tune with your will. And Lord, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we might know how we ought to live in these days. For we ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Grab your Bibles and turn then, if you would, to the book of Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6 in our Bibles, and we are continuing our move into the scriptures and into the great tribulation period of the book of Revelation. For some of you, this is why you've been coming to these studies. You want to hear all about this stuff. Up until now, we've been looking at the announcement to the church, to the world, about the revelation of Jesus Christ, his person, his holiness, his grandeur, that Jesus is God the Son come to earth, and that he is the Lamb of God enthroned in heaven, that Jesus Christ is God who came to earth according to the scriptures, according to the Old Testament prophets, and died on the cross for our sins. And then we learned about the letters to the seven churches. And we studied that in depth. And then we added one more church. Do you remember what that church was? A letter to the church at Chino Hills. And we looked at the scripture personally about what God would say to us, because the truth of the matter is, the Holy Spirit is alive, the Bible is God's word, and if you're breathing right now, then God is desiring to speak to you in your life. And that is the dynamic about our faith. Not worship some dead God or some token religion, but the fact of the matter is our Lord is risen, he's alive, and his book, his love letter, has been given to us, the Bible. And so as we looked at the seven letters to the seven churches, we saw in Revelation chapter 5 the glories of heaven and the worship that was taking place there. And we saw those whom Christ has purchased by his blood, redeemed, the Bible says, from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. They had been raptured up into heaven. And now we come to chapter 6 where the tribulation period begins. And those of you who are note takers, you might want to write next to your margin or grab a note that's in front of your seat, that chapter 6 all the way out to chapter 19 around verse 11, this now, the book of Revelation covers, listen, the great tribulation period, all 7 years of it. Some of it we'll get into this morning, but the bulk of it is the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And you're going to know all about that as we go through this. If you're saying, well, I never heard such a thing. Well, we're going to go through the scriptures. And frankly, by the time we come to the end of the book of Revelation, you should be an expert on end time events. And so I'm going to ask you this morning to put your little thinking cap on and to be exercising yourself unto the study of the word. And listen carefully. You're going to need to kind of loosen up. If we were in a classroom, I'd have you stand up, do some, you know, some toe touches and breathe a little bit and maybe slap yourself around so you can take it all in, because we're going to set the plow this morning to digging deep and getting into the Word of God. And for those of you who are new to the book of Revelation, I know many of you are, some of these things, I may rush through them. Write those scripture references down that I give you and make sure you study them, because it is essential to your spiritual development at a time and an age in which you and I live. So keeping that in mind, Revelation chapter 6, we'll read beginning at verse 1, and we're going to go all the way down this morning to the end of verse 2 today, and we'll cover that. Revelation 6, beginning at verse 1, he says, "Now I saw when the Lamb..." There the Lamb opened one of the seals, and the creature saying with a loud voice, I heard one of the four creatures, the living creatures, saying with a loud voice like thunder, saying, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. If you're taking notes this morning, the title of the message is The First Rider of the Apocalypse. We're going to look in the next 4 weeks, four riders, the four horsemen, as you may know them, of the apocalypse. And we're going to look at them closely. And so this morning, it's very important that we understand that there is a first rider. And that first rider comes with the loosening of the first seal. Now, remember, Jesus Christ was the only one found in heaven and on earth and under the earth and all that is in the created world, both spiritual and physical. Jesus was the only one who was found worthy to take the scroll. Remember, the scroll out of him who sits upon the throne, God Almighty. We learn this in chapter 4 and chapter 5, that Christ is worthy and that he approaches the throne of God the Father. And John is weeping, remember, because he sees nobody worthy. But one of the angels, one of the messengers say, "Don't weep, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Christ Jesus, he has prevailed. And he is worthy to take the scroll." And we looked at that word. The word worthy meant that he had met all the requirements. He alone, Christ, is the one that is able to take this scroll from the hand of the Father. And we studied in depth what that seven-sealed scroll was all about. And we talked about how in antiquity, in archaeology, seven-sealed scrolls have been unearthed and uncovered. And they're written on the outside and on the inside. And once they are, by the way, written on the outside and on the inside, complete and then sealed, they were none other than last wills and testaments of great rulers or those who controlled empires. And we know this because two of the ancient Roman emperors have had their wills uncovered in archaeology. Can you imagine that? And they were sealed, guess how many times? Not six and not eight, but how many? Seven times. And when you unseal the scroll, when you lift off the first seal, try to keep this in your mind. It's kind of unlike anything we know in the Western culture. When you unscroll the first seal, it unrolls a certain portion and then it stops at the second seal. Whoever is worthy to loose the first seal is one who is found able to meet all the requirements of the first seal or the unveiling of the first seal. So Jesus takes the scroll and he opens it up, and there is a list of things. We don't know exactly what those things are, by the way, but there's a list of things that he, as the Redeemer, is found worthy to fulfill. And so he's qualified to loose the scrolls, not only loose them, but take them from God the Father's hands. Are you with me? Everybody thoroughly confused? Are you okay? Once he looses the first seal, he'll go to the second seal and onward. And then as we go through our studies, we'll get to the seventh seal. And brother, does the seventh seal, the sixth and seventh seals, unleash amazing attributes and things regarding the last days. All of this encompassing a very small period of time that, by the way, once it begins, it will run its successive course. That means once the seven-year tribulation period begins, by the way, it begins on one day and yet in the future. One day. It's so clear, the scripture declares, that that day, those living at that time will be able to mark their calendars and count the days. That day will begin, the great tribulation period, and it will go 7 years without stop, without hesitation, without a comma, until Christ returns in the second coming. Very fantastic revelation of Scripture that we have commencing before us. The first writer of the Apocalypse. Now keep this in mind. Some of you may remember, in fact, maybe all of us, and this is all, we're going to go through a lot of introduction, and it's very, very important. Some of us may remember in high school or college or wherever, maybe trade school, whatever you've gone through or whatever you're in, that there is a predetermined set period of time that is given you. For example, you enter your class with your fellow students and you are going to graduate on a certain day. It may be 2 years from now, it may be 4 years from now. And for some of you, my nephew is just about ready to graduate from law school. It will have been 8 years. 8 years of school. But there's a date, and we're all going to go to his graduation, and we're going to make it a big deal. Why? There is a date decreed where he is set free, so to speak, out of school. Why? He has met all the requirements. All that needed to happen happened. And what's interesting, as he is now approaching his graduation, like you may be approaching yours, there is an increase in the tests. There's an increase in exams. There is an increase in effort. There are the finals. We've all gone through finals, and how we love them so. We've all gone through these things that brought us to a place whereby all the requirements have been met. Listen, the 7-year tribulation period must happen. It will happen literally because all of the requirements that are there in the tribulation period, both Old and New Testament described, must take place. Church, listen. When it comes to the prophetic word of God, let alone all the other portions of the Bible, when you and I fail to take these scriptures literally, unless otherwise specified by the Bible, not by me, I might add, but by the Bible, if we fail to take them literal, we wind up often being in error. My mistakes in the years that I've been a Christian is when I've read something, I haven't taken it literal enough. For example, when Jesus says, all those who will come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. What do you think he means by that? You know, all the theologians, they'll go run in the corner and they'll sit and twiddle their thumbs back and forth about, what do you think he meant by that? You know what? I know exactly what he meant by that. He says all those, and he means all those who come to him, he will not turn away. He will not cast out. When Jesus says you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven, what do you think he meant? If you keep reading John chapter 3, he tells you exactly what he meant. God is not mysterious in that he withholds all the information we need. He gives the information that we need. He's a very good God and he wants us to know. So whatever the timetable is in your life, know this, that you are going to a point, you are coming to a predetermined graduation, so to speak. So is this world, by the way, I might add. This earth right now, listen, politics, environment, everything regarding this physical created universe is marching toward a predetermined moment of time in the mind of God. That's kind of eerie in one point, but awesome in the other. I love that old saying, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know him who holds tomorrow. Often we feel that God, you know, is not on time. Where is that predetermined moment for my life? Listen, God is never early and he's never late. He's always on time. And God's prophetic word is one of those tremendous truths about that. So chapter 6, as it commences, gives us a view from heaven. If you're a note taker, jot that down. Chapter 6 gives us a view from heaven. What do I mean by that? The church is no longer mentioned from Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. The church is never again mentioned on earth until you see it returning back to earth from heaven with Jesus Christ in Revelation 19. That's significant. With all the effort put into chapters 2 and 3 regarding the church on the earth, now there's no church on the earth. And we shall see some of the reasons why this morning as we go into our study. But the events of the 7-year tribulation period, of the great tribulation period, is those 7 literal years, and they will usher in the return of Jesus Christ to earth in what is called the second coming. These 7 years, or the 7-year period or timetable, is a time reserved specifically by God for, listen, global judgments and God's revisitation upon the nation of Israel. Will you please make note of that? This church now is large enough to where I don't know what everyone's opinion is. So you may have an opinion this morning that Israel is out of the picture. I got news for you. Israel's just come back into the picture. The Bible tells us that God will reestablish the nation Israel in the last days, and he will come and visit his people. The nation of Israel must be on the earth and established before the second coming of Christ. The seven-year tribulation period deals with God's judgment upon the earth for a Christ-rejecting world and the reestablishment and the redemption of the nation Israel. Very important thing. So, church, as students, always keep your eye on Israel. And by the way, up until May 14th, 1948, we didn't have an Israel to look at, did we? But according to the prophecies of the scriptures and according to the United Nations, on May 14th, 1948, Israel was born as a nation a second time in one day. And so the Bible speaks of these 7 years that are coming, and they're going to be, again, as I mentioned earlier, commencing on a very specific and certain day. It's a day that the Bible tells us a peace treaty will begin with Israel and its surrounding neighbors, which just so happens to be its enemies. Isn't that interesting? When the peace treaty commences, there will be a date signed. Anybody know how long that peace treaty is on contract for with the nation Israel? 7 years, exactly. It's a seven-year period of time. But in the middle of that seven-year period of time, the man who forges that agreement winds up breaking the agreement in 3.5 years of that contract. Again, it will take place with the nation Israel, not Canada. This is what the Bible says thousands of years ago. Isn't that great? Not Peru, not the United States. But the Bible, anticipating the rebirth of the nation Israel, said that there will be a peace treaty with this man that will come, and it will be a seven-year peace treaty, as we shall see. That day will commence a very terrible moment in time that Jesus said will be unlike any other time ever upon the earth. And unless he shortened those days, no flesh will remain upon the earth. Jesus said it will be a time of great tribulation, such as never been seen nor ever shall be in the world. In other words, it's going to make the Holocaust look like a picnic. Can you imagine that? These terrible days that are coming. And one man, the Bible says, will be one who instigates and begins the process that will lead to Earth's last attempt to govern itself in human politics. And that man, by the way, the Bible refers to him as the son of perdition. The Bible refers to him as the beast, the worthless shepherd in Zechariah. The Bible calls him, and he's referred to as the Antichrist. And by the way, I believe, personally, it's my conviction, as I look around the world and as I look around things, and I hope to show you some things in the future, where the Bible says this man will come into the world scene riding upon the back of something called another beast, a religious beast. And he will use that religious pseudo false church system, the Bible says. He will come out of the old Roman Empire, out of the ancient Roman Empire, and he will come and he will use religion as a tool. And at a point, he'll discard that false religious system. And the Bible says that he will stand in Jerusalem, in the temple of Jerusalem, and declare himself to be God, and the world will marvel and worship him. What I find very interesting about that, for some of us in a couple of months, we're all going to be going to Israel. About 150 of us are going to be heading over there. And we're going to go to places and we're going to see people who are committed and dedicated. And they have spent an untold tens of millions of dollars reconstructing the tools and the devices that they believe will be used in the temple of their soon to come Messiah. And we will see, for example, the menorah that they plan on using. And it stands about 4 feet tall, made out of solid precious metal. And it's under lock and key. And they're waiting. They've enacted and they've got men practicing. They've traced their lineage of Kohathites and Levites to be priests, to make sacrifice and offerings. They believe that their Messiah is soon to come. The problem is, the Messiah that the Bible says that they're going to receive is riding upon a white horse. And you say, well, what's wrong with that? Jesus rides a white horse. The problem with what we shall see this morning is that it's not Jesus Christ. It's the Antichrist. It's the one who is a false representation of the Messiah. Jesus tells us in Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 to 19, the scriptures teach us that when I saw him, John says, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me and he said, do not be afraid. Jesus speaks to John. Remember, Revelation 1, 17. And he says, I am the first and the last. And I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which you have seen. That's chapter 1. Write the things which are. That's chapter 2 and 3. The things regarding the church age. And write the things which shall take place after this. And that's where we look now to Revelation chapter 6. Very, very important. So what we see here is this. Jot it down. Revelation chapter 6 verse 1. The first writer of the apocalypse brings the advent of evil in human flesh. Can you jot that down? Point number one is the advent of evil in human flesh. This is like no other despot that has ever come. This man will be unlike Hitler. This man will be unlike Mussolini, Stalin, Hussein. He will be in that unlike them. He will have success in what he plans to put upon the world. And listen, there are powers that are sinister and dark that are moving toward the reception of this man. And I believe, again, as I said, this man is alive in the world today somewhere biding his time. I believe he's coming. He may be in his 30s, 40s, or 50s, I don't know, but I believe he's alive. I believe this Antichrist figure is alive. And when he comes, the Bible tells us in the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation how specifically he arises. But he will be evil personified. He will be, so to speak, the son of Satan. And as we go now from chapter 6 to 19, keep this in mind, that Satan will always attempt to mimic what God has already given. Those of us, as we read through the Bible on a day-to-day basis, we saw God tell Moses, throw down your staff and your staff will become a serpent. Remember that? Well, what did Pharaoh's magicians do? Same thing. And they mimicked back and forth these miracles of God until they reached a point where, by the way, their gods were exposed. Quite interesting. Satan is always mimicking. He cannot create anything new. Listen, when Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun, that applies to Satan too. He creates nothing. He only steals and manipulates that which exists. Are you with me? Do you understand that? He steals. He rips off. He does it in people's lives. Jesus said he's the father of lies. That's the only thing he's ever produced is lies, the false.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called The First Rider of the Apocalypse. We're so glad you took the time to be with us today. You know, The First Rider of the Apocalypse is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, you know, February's book of the month from Pastor Jack, it's actually a movie, and it's called Genesis, Paradise Lost. When so many of us are searching for our ancestry these days, the movie Genesis, Paradise Lost takes us back to the beginning. Have you struggled with maybe sharing your faith and about what the Bible says about creation? The truth that God created the heavens and the earth is still a battleground that leaves a lot of Christians unprepared. But this award-winning film brings the first chapter of Genesis to life. Genesis, Paradise Lost is a stunning documentary that exposes the lie millions believe about evolution and gives the truth about who we are and why we're here. And more importantly, the truth about who created us. So explore the evidence and experience creation like you've never seen it before. Don't miss your opportunity to watch this very unique and powerful film. This visually rewarding film has the Dove seal for all ages, which means that you can watch it with the whole family and include it in your homeschool curriculum if you'd like. It's also a fantastic tool for witnessing and will open up some pretty interesting conversations. Genesis, Paradise Lost is available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.